Will you bow your heads with me in prayer? Father, thank you for yet another opportunity to come before you. And Lord, we come before you with humble hearts so that we may exalt your wonderful name. God, we do look to you, especially in times that we are facing today. A lot of questions that we have, a lot of things that we are looking for the answers and solutions, whatever it may be. But Lord, at the end of the day, we continuously look to you. And so Lord, bless today. Let today be a day where people will be changed, not because of what you give, but because of who you are. Allow our hearts and our minds to treasure you alone, above all, above everything in the world, above everything that we see, above everything that we hold. I pray that today we would treasure you alone and we would say, Jesus is enough. Jesus is all that I need. No matter what's losing, no matter what's the defeat, whatever it may be, at the end of the day, Christ is all that I need. So Lord, bless us today. Help us to sense your spirit. Help us to sense hope and help us to sense encouragement. And help us to sense it by opening up your word. And as we open up your word, please, Lord, open up our hearts. Help us to walk out different and new and changed. Lord, I love you and I thank you. In Christ's wonderful and perfect name is who we pray. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Christ Church. Thank you guys for being here. So awesome. Hey, let's give it up one more time for our friends who are watching online. Thank you guys for being here. You weren't brave enough to come out in the cold, but that's okay. Anyway, let's continue on. We are closing and finishing our sermon series that we have been in for the last several weeks, and the series is titled The Glory of Christ. And in this series, I sense that what is being communicated is that our trust and our level of dependence in Christ would elevate, would increase, that our faith and our joy and our treasure would be Jesus. And the Apostle Paul has been helping us and working us through what does that look like and actually what does that mean, that Christ is the treasure of our hearts. No matter the outside, no matter the things that we see, that at the end of the day, all we need is him. And we can be like the psalmist as we spoke about, if you were with us on Kingdom Night. Anybody was with us on Kingdom Night? Didn't we have a great time? We talked about at the end of the day that our eyes are lifted to the one above, and that we said that our way forward is always looking upward, that our way forward is it's upward. So that's what I pray that this sermon series, and next week we're actually starting a brand new sermon series on the book of Daniel. Now, if you read the book of Daniel, it's a beautiful, amazing book. So much promise, so much hope, so much of God's power moving in and through the lives of those who existed at that time. So take the time and be with us. But before I open up the scripture, I don't know if you guys know, but in my past life, I was a certified personal trainer. And I had a reputation about me. Here was my reputation. I was hard on people. I mean, like, seriously hard. Like, I lost clients because of how excruciating my workouts were. It reminds me of a time years and years ago when I started working out my neighbor's kids. They were like 10, 11 years old. And I was living in Strongsville at the time. And in Strongsville, by the urgent care, there's these tall, tall hills. What are my Strongsville people out? You know what I'm talking about. There's these tall, tall hills. People would go there for the winter. They'll go sledding. But I took these kids, remember, 10, 11 years old. I took them to this hill, and I said, hey, here's our warm-up. We're going to run up and down this hill 20 times. That was the warm-up. This hill was taller than this building, and for some reason, they just did what I told them to do. I don't know why. I remember they're 10, 11 years old, so they probably weren't processing it the way they should have, but they just started doing it, and probably by the third set, one of the kids just stops and says, this is the dumbest thing I think I've ever done in my life. And I looked at him. I said, I think you are the dumbest kid I ever met. No. But he just said, hey, I don't see the purpose in this. He stopped and said, I don't see why we are doing this. What's the reason that you are telling us to do this? And then I proceeded, I went on and I explained to him a couple reasons why. And he says, well, that's just not good enough. I won't continue unless you tell me the purpose. And here's this kid, 10, 11 years old. I'm like, I'm ready to kick you in your shin. Just telling me, but here's the thing. It got down to the point where he wasn't willing to continue unless he understood the purpose. He wasn't willing to move forward. So I end up telling him, I said, hey, if you run this here, you're going to be a millionaire. And I can tell you right now, the kid's not a millionaire. But he continued on and moved to the hill. And I think a lot of us have had that moment in our lives where we ask ourselves, what's the purpose? What's the reason? Why? We always look for the why in situations. We always look for the meaning. And if we come to terms and if we come to understand it, well, therefore that dictates how we respond and typically how we are going to move forward while we are in it. Which is why I can never understand marathon runners. Listen, marathon runners annoy me. There's nothing in the Bible that says anything about running, okay? Jesus walked to the cross, all right? There's nothing that says anything in the Bible. But they're willing to endure that pain because at the end, there's a reward. There's meaning. Sure, there's a cost to this. Sure, there's a lot of things that they got to risk. But the reward outweighs the risk. My wife is 5 months pregnant, and we're thankful for the blessing of our second child. I'm pulling my hair out, slowly receding right now. I'm scared. But I can tell you right now that she's in some pain. And I can tell you right now that as she moves further and further, all my ladies, you know what this is like. As you get further and further, and then the day of, it's painful. It's excruciating. And you have to endure it. But the gift is greater than the pain. The gift is greater than the pain. And I believe that the same idea of the gift is greater than the pain actually is a reality in the troubles and the afflictions that we face in our lives today. Here's the truth, friends. It's tempting to look at our troubles, to look at our pain, to look at our losses, to look at our anxiety, to look at our shame, to look at our fear and lose perspective. And lose perspective. And typically we lose perspective because we don't understand the purpose. You tracking with me? Usually we use reality because we don't understand the meaning. And if we understood the meaning, therefore we can hold true to the purpose. But since those things are out of whack, it keeps us from persevering and moving forward. You know what I'm saying, church? You ever had a moment where you said to yourself, like, I don't know why this is here. I don't know why this is happening. And all of those things begin to confuse us, and it begins to rob us of a perspective, and that perspective keeps us from persevering. But today, I want to talk to you about that our today's passage will encourage us and give us hope, and it will give us a better perspective. The reason why it's going to give us a better perspective is because Christ offers a better purpose. And since Christ offers this better purpose, where is it rooted in? It's all rooted in his promises. It's all rooted in the promises of God. See, when we start with God's purpose, God's promises, it moves us to now have a greater perspective. When I'm rooted in what God says, not what the world says, not what my pain says, not what anxiety says, but what does God have to say about the situation? When I'm rooted in God's promises, therefore I can be shaped by a better perspective. And if I'm shaped by this better perspective, guess what? I'm willing to endure no matter what's thrown at me because I started with God's promise to begin with. Are y'all alive today? Like, y'all dead? Like, is it walking dead in here? Like, what's going on? Am I making sense what I'm saying? And I believe the Apostle Paul is going to encourage you and I today and remind us that, number one, the Christian life is a life of perseverance. But we persevere with hope because of God's promise. We push forward because we hold true to what God says. And here's the truth. God is faithful. God is faithful. So we're going to open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We've been working through this. And I believe the Apostle Paul is going to shape our perspective, being rooted in God's promise, so that he can encourage us so we can be able to persevere in the midst of our afflictions, in the midst of our uncomfortable moments, in the midst of our losses and our pains. He's going to give us God's promise to shape us to have a better perspective so that we can be able to persevere. And I want to talk about these two points. He wants us to be encouraged so that we can, number one, be formed in Christ, right? He wants to have that perspective as we are being formed in Christ. But also, here's the second point, that our perspective is our future with Christ. Most important things, being formed by Christ and our future with Christ. Can I just tell y'all right now, somebody told me, why am I wearing a hoodie? Like, I'm already sweating. Brother ain't even opened up the Bible yet. Like, it's about to be a long day. Just don't mind the glistening. Just get it off your mind, all right? I know what you're thinking, Ashley. Don't mind it. Shut up. Anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says this. So, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing, or another way to say this, is producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient or temporary or moving. But the things that are unseen are eternal. Friends, the way to persevere begins with a promise. What does God have to say? What has God promised us? That promise begins to shape our perspective. And therefore, since we are rooted in God's promises, it shapes our perspective. It helps us to move forward and to persevere. I want to take a look at this very first part that Paul talks about. Paul says this. Bring up verse 16 one more time. He says, we do not lose heart. Now, I find it interesting if we do proper Bible study. In verse 1, he says the same thing. Go to verse 1 for us. He says this. We had this in week 1. He says, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, what does it say? We do not lose heart. So this whole chapter, this whole section is about the Apostle Paul reminding this church that he's writing to, reminding them about his confidence, about his reason to move forward even in the midst of all of his trials. He talked about it the first couple weeks. We talked about that. He didn't lose heart because of God's love has been shining more and more in his heart. And God's been powerfully working through him, in him, with the people that are around him. And then he talks about that he doesn't lose heart because one day there would be resurrection. And we can be excited for that as well, too. And then he encourages us today, the same premise, not to lose hearts. Paul's weapon against anxiety, against fear, against discouragement, against depression, because, friends, he faced it. He went through it. And this letter, this is one of the letters where Paul was unashamed to talk about his afflictions. People viewed it as a problem. Paul viewed it as a gift. People viewed it as something was wrong with Paul. Paul viewed it as God is up to something. People viewed it as, man, if you truly were a God's man, if you truly were called by God, then this and that and the third wouldn't be happening. And Paul has a different way to view it because he's rooted where? And what God promises. And that's what gives him the confidence to be able to say, I do not lose heart. Because ministry was hard for Paul. Ministry was hard for him. And it began to wear on him more and more. That's why he brings up this part where he says, as we are wasting away, meaning Paul's saying this, I'm getting old, y'all. Scholars would say it's been about 30 years since Paul has been starting his ministry. And he says, listen, y'all, I'm getting old. I'm not like what I used to be. Anybody over 30 know what that's like? I got a thing on my shoulder. It ain't like it used to be. I had a couple teenagers beat me in basketball the other day. They called me old man. And Almost kicked them too. But anyway, Paul says, I'm getting older and I'm getting weaker. Listen, I'm getting weaker. And guess what? My afflictions, they're speeding that process up. And friends, we know what that's like. But Paul says something so interesting. Paul says, though outwardly I'm wasting away, another way to say is I'm decaying, but inwardly I'm being renewed day by day. What does Paul mean by that? Being renewed, Paul says, the focus of my life is not my appearance. The focus of my life is not what I get from the world. The focus of my life is not the praise or the approval of men. The focus of my life isn't anything external. The focus is what God is doing internal. He says the focus of my life is that, yes, I'm getting older, but my soul is getting wiser. Yeah, I'm getting older. Yeah, I'm getting beat up. But guess what? My soul is being renewed at the same time. And I thought it was interesting for each and every one of us. Sometimes we live in a world that we love to focus on the outward, that our appearance happens to be our preference. But how many of us know we can be pretty outwardly, but be stained inwardly? And Paul says, guess what? I don't lose hope because my hope is not what I look like, but my hope is in what God does in my life. My hope isn't in anything outwardly, because those things are perishing. That's why he says it in verse 18. But he says, my hope is in the renewal work of the grace of God that he's doing in my life. Now, I don't know about you. Paul says this very interesting thing. He says that I'm being renewed day by day. And he says, for this light and momentary affliction. Now, I don't know about you, but my problems are not light and momentary, it feels like. I mean, am I right? When you go through it, it feels like forever. You ever been in traffic? I'm bringing it up again. You ever been in traffic? It feels like forever. And you only been there for 30 seconds. It feels like a lifetime. And that's what some of the pain sometimes feels like. But Paul is so powerful in looking at his problems in a way that says, listen, I'm going through it, but at the end of the day, God is renewing me in it. You see the contrast? Sure, I'm going through it. And Paul, as we said, has had a lot of things that he has had to endure in his life. But he says at the end of the day, these things are light and momentary because God is doing a greater work in me. And friends, I want you to know some of the best work God does in us is in our afflictions. Sadly as it may be, some of the best work God does is in the places that you get caught up in that you don't like. It's in the things that you lose. It's in the pain that you have. It's the place where God begins to expose. But not only does he get to expose, it's where, a place where things begin to die, like pride, like your ego, like the things that are destroying your relationship, the things that are keeping you from living a life with integrity and self-control. It's those places where God begins to do this great work within us. I mean, he begins to expose it, and things begin to die. But as Chet talked about, also things begin to be made new within you. And that's what the renewal part comes from, where God begins to shape us that we are chasing his will above our own. Because how many of us know the one thing that I love to serve is me? Let me say that one more time. The one thing that I love to serve is me. I love to serve me. If I was a singer, I'd be stuck on that chord. Me, 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 me. There's no do re over here. It's nothing but me, 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 me. It's all about me. And this day-to-day process, this affliction that is being caused in Paul's life is beginning to change him, and it begins to change us, where God is getting us to chase his will over our own. Begins to chase his will and his desire. So I can chase his will for my marriage. I can chase his will when it comes to these children that I got to raise. Broken me, got to raise these kids. When it comes to my job, when it comes to my leadership, when it comes to my family, when it comes to all these things, God begins to do a greater renewal work within us. He shapes our desires. He shapes us to follow his purpose. He helps us to draw near to him so that we can treasure him alone, so that we can remove the things that we are depending on to give us hope, to give us enjoyment in all those things, knowing that at the end of the day, the things that we are holding on to are actually making us weaker and weaker and weaker. Paul says, I'm more concerned of what God is doing in me than what's being done to me. And the question that I want to ask us, can we have that kind of faith like Paul? I'm not saying we need to be the Apostle Paul. The goal is not to make Paul the hero. The goal is to look at Paul and say, man, maybe the reason why this anxiety and fear and worry begins to overwhelm my life is maybe because I'm more focused on what's going on to me than what maybe what God is doing in me. Sure, this is still here, but God wants to make me brand new. God wants to make me wiser. God wants me to fight temptation and sin that is in my life. God wants me to grow in this thing called grace. God wants me to grow in this thing called love. And as long as I'm growing inwardly, it's the only thing that matters. As long as I'm growing inwardly, then I can look at my pain and say, guess what? This stinks, but God's doing a great work in me. Yeah, I wish that this would be removed, but God's removing things in me. Sure, I wish this wall would be knocked down, but God's knocking down walls within me. Sure, I wish all this was better, but Paul says, guess what? I'm not concerned with that. I'm more concerned with the work that God is doing from within. And friends, maybe that can be our hope and our thing that we cling on to today. And the one thing I want you to know is, how are we renewed? Well, we're renewed by abiding in the promises and the power of Christ. That's how we're renewed. That we spend more time with him than we spend time worrying. We spend more time with Christ than we do trying to figure out everything. Because I don't know about you, I spend more time trying to make my life more comfortable. I got a gentleman in the back like, he's talking to me. I spend my life trying to control things. Come on, I got more people shaking their head. All right, more saved people. And I also spend my time trying to make my life a little bit more convenient. And friends, can I tell you, those are the three things that will rob us from the promises that God has for us, especially in the renewal work that he wants to do in us. Comfort, convenience, and control. You ever had a moment where somebody talks to you way too close? Chet and I knew a guy that, I can't even look at Chet right now. Chet and I knew a guy that just talked so close. I mean, we were like 2 inches from it getting intimate. Like, it was weird. Like, just like this, right? And anytime you're in an uncomfortable place, you want to remove yourself. Because I don't like pain. And I don't like going through it. My life should be easy. But Christ didn't die so that we can have an easy life. He died so that we can have an eternal life. Christ didn't die for us so that things could be easy on this earth, because he tells you this. Guess what, friends? At the end of the day, this is just preparing you for something to come. This is just preparing you for the future. That's what we're going to talk about next. For the future that is to come. See, I believe the reason why we are where we are is because we think we're going to be here forever. If we think we're going to be here forever, we think that this is just how things are. But friends, I want you to know, Christ is preparing for us today a place for you and I. And the things that we hate today will be the things that we get to enjoy tomorrow with him in glory. That's why Paul says, bring up verse 17 one more time. That's why Paul says, for this light and momentary affliction is preparing for you and I a glory, an eternal way of glory that is to come. Paul's not minimizing his afflictions. He's just maximizing glory. He's not saying, hey, listen, this is all nothing. No, he's not saying that. Listen, Read about Paul. The man has been shipwrecked. The man has been whipped on his back. What was it, 49 times? 49 times, twice. Twice. He's been through it all. And he says, guess what? If you take a scale and you put my afflictions on one side, you have put all my pain on one side, guess what? The glory that is to come would totally outweigh the afflictions that are in the present. So listen, I may not be in where I need to be, but I can anticipate where I'm going to be. And where I'm going to be is greater than where I am today. And all of this is preparing each and every one of us for a life to come. One of my favorite pastors, his name is Charles Spurgeon. Our church here, we love this guy. He, very, very long time ago, came out with a bunch of sermons. And he had a sermon about this, about these two verses, verse 17 and 18. And I felt to myself, I'm like, you know what? This is pretty cool. Like, let's read this together. And I thought that it would be an encouragement on our hearts, because if there's one thing that discourages us, it is our pain when we don't know the purpose of it. If there's one thing that weighs us down, it's the places where we feel so low. It's the places where we don't feel like we have any answers. And I wanted to read this quote to you from him. It was in one of his sermons, and it says it like this. He says this: it is good for me to be afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. As a matter of fact, that's a psalm that's in your Bible, just to let everybody know. He says, it is good for me to be afflicted, that I may learn from your statutes. By the greatest affliction, God teaches us the greatest instruction. That's what we talked about earlier. That in our affliction, God teaches us to be wiser. God teaches us to be gracious. There's this affliction. There's this pattern that happens that, yeah, it's happening to me, but it's happening to me so that grace and wisdom will flow through me. And he goes on and he says this: when a believer lies under God's hands, which afflicts him, he lies in God's heart, which loves him. How beautiful is that? When a believer lies under the hand of affliction, at the end of the day, he lies in God's heart, which loves him. Because sometimes it's our pain that draws us nearer to him. Sometimes when things are right, I say to myself, I don't need God. And I'm not the only one that thinks that, am I? God, I know I haven't talked to you in a while, but money's looking good for me. I'm happy. I lost 2 pounds. I've been on keto for about 26 hours, and everything's going well. Everything's going fine. Thanks. We'll see you later. But sometimes it's the moments where we are heavy, where it knocks us on our knees and helps us to look upwards. That's the beauty about affliction. Let's continue to go on. He says this: afflictions are good, but not pleasant. But also he says, sin is pleasant, but not good. Whew. There is more evil in a drop of sin than there is in a sea of afflictions. God, by affliction, separates the sin he hates so deadly from the soul he loves so dearly. The believer studies more how to adorn the cross than how to avoid the cross. How beautiful is that? And tell me, O believer, is not Christ with his cross better than the world with its crown? Man, how powerful is that? That friends, at the end of the day, here's one thing I want you to know. That all of this is preparing for us a crown that awaits us. Your crown is not here on this earth. Jesus says this: do not treasure things of this world, because the things of this world are fading and fading away. One of my favorite passages is when Jesus and his disciples, as they are walking and moving and doing ministry, one of the disciples says, look, Lord, these great and beautiful buildings, look how awesome it is. Because what happens is the things they see begins to take their attention. It begins to get their affection. It begins to get their eyes. And they're like, look how awesome it is. And Jesus is like, that building, it's going to be torn down soon. It's going to come down soon. Because listen, the world is fading away, but my promises never fade away. The world and all that is in this is fading away. So what does Paul teach us? Paul teaches us this. Paul teaches us to have a better pursuit. And that pursuit is what? His glory over the world. pursuing his glory, his purpose, his will over all things. Because if I chase the world, worry and fear follows. But if I chase his will, glory follows me. Matter of fact, glory awaits me. Paul teaches that. He says, for this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory. Verse 18, as we close, says this, as we look not to the things that are seen, right? The things that are seen, the outward things, that's the parallel. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, that's the renewal work. That's the eternal glory. We can't see what God is doing, but we know God is doing something. He says, as we look not to the things that are unseen, but to the things that are seen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Listen, friends, God wants to bless us. God wants to gift us. God wants us to enjoy life. But also he wants us to anticipate what he has for us. He wants us to live in such a way where we're not allowing the things of this world to rob our joy and to rob our hope. Sure, we have those moments, but as soon as we have those moments, we run back to him, and therefore he bears fruit in us, and he gives us a better promise so we can have a better perspective so that we can be able to persevere as we move forward. And as we are doing all those things, he is renewing greater and different things from within, making me better, making me stronger, making me wiser, and all of these great things. But I don't do it just so the enjoyment of this world. I do it because there is a glory ahead of me. There's a glory ahead of me. There is a place that is prepared. And I love the loving words of Jesus. He says, and where I am, you may be there also. You know that thing you ever say to yourself, man, I wish life, I wish everything, all this pain would go away. You ever said that to yourself before? You ever said to yourself, like, man, I wish things would just get better. I wish things would just be better. We probably are saying that today, right? I wish all of this would just end. I wish this would be done. I wish all this hate and this evil and all these things that are done, I just wish it to be over with. I wish that my anxiety would be done and my fear would be done and all the things that are weighing me down, because not only do I need to worry about the world, I'm starting to worry about myself. You ever had that moment where you're going back and forth about, man, I wish things just would get better. But here's the truth, friends. Things are going to get better in his presence. That thing you desire is this thing called heaven. This place called heaven. That thing you're like, man, something's not wrong because you're not in your home. That thing you say to yourself, man, this shouldn't be like this. God said, yeah, it shouldn't. It shouldn't be like this. Which is why I prepared a place for you. As I redeem you, as I redeem humanity, I'm preparing for you a glory. And the questions and the pains that you experience will cease. I can't wait for that place. I can't wait for a place where I can say, my hope is in the glory of God. And I can just stand before him. And I can just say, man, all of that I've been through, it's light now, because I am where I was supposed to be the whole time, in his presence, with his glory. I am where I'm supposed to be. I love that the Apostle Peter, in his opening letter, he would call the early Christians, he would call them exiles. And pretty much he was saying this, you're foreigners, because this isn't your home. This place is preparing for you a greater glory. Friends, I need you to know this, that your pain is renewing you and your pain is preparing you for glory. It's renewing you. At the end of the day, God is at work in you. God is doing some great work, but at the end of the day, God is producing a better place for you as well. As we pray, Let's ask God to give us his promises so that we can have a better perspective, so that you and I can persevere. Let's say a prayer. Father, if I can be honest, I allow what I see to distract where I need to be. If I can be honest, I allow my issues to rob my perspective and to blind your promises that you have held for me. And Lord, I pray that today that as I go through those valleys and as I go through the hardships and as I go through those moments, I go through it clinging on to your promises. Clinging on to your promises. And then I'm able to move through because your promises are with me. And what have you promised? You promised glory. And if you promised it, you'll be faithful to present it. And Lord, would you help us today that we would cling to this truth? It's a hard truth. It may seem difficult to understand. But at the end of the day, there's one thing we can truly understand, is that you're faithful. Is that you're loving. Is that you're kind and gracious. And you are preparing us today for the glory that is coming tomorrow. You're preparing us today for the glory that we will eventually see. So, Lord, be at work within us today. We love you and we thank you. In Christ's perfect name is who we pray. Amen.